joy to be with you once again with my beloved Laura. Due to the cancellation of our flight scheduled for Halifax on Monday morning, where we had hoped to rent a car and to travel across the Maritimes, which my beloved has never been, the only part of Canada, actually, that she has never seen. So evidently, she has kept the best the last. And so, we did not think we should cancel our trip that was long expected, and so we decided to drive the Maritimes, via the Gaspé Peninsula. So, Louis, are you treating your wife well, Louis? Are you hoping that after this trip she will want to travel with you again? I think the jury is still out on that right now. And probably for a few reasons. And we left on Monday morning. We had driven Sunday night after I had returned from Windsor. Speaking at Oakwood Bible Chapel, we drove to Belleville, where we arrived at 9 o'clock in the evening. The next morning, we left at 7. And how long was that first day's drive, Louis? Do I dare say? 15 hours. We drove from Belleville to Montreal, to Quebec City, and into the Gaspé Peninsula. And we arrived in the small town of Matane in the Gaspésie, and we could not find a place in the inn. And so we had to make a call to a dear couple in Saint-Andémont, and they were ready to go to bed. And when we arrived, they were there in their bed clothes. A surprise. I would like you to meet Laura. And that was the first day. It doesn't get better than that, really. I'm so sorry. And then on Tuesday afternoon at the assembly in Saint-Andémont, they had a lunch for us so they could meet my wife, Laura. And I was told, and I shared this with the Croziers this evening, that they said to me, Louis, we're not accustomed to having lunch at the chapel on Tuesdays. And if it was simply you, we would not have had lunch. But since you have brought your beloved with you, then we've decided to have lunch, to meet her. And that was quite a blessing. At what time did you leave there, Louis? I reckon it was about 2 o'clock or so. And what was that day like? Well, we drove to a small town called Cloridon, and we met a delightful sister, a widow, and we trust that our visit with her was an encouragement to our heart. And we proceeded to the town of Gaspé, where we found what? No motels available. And we proceeded to Percé. And what did you find there, Louis? You are supposed to have your dear wife, Laura, enjoy the journey. And so what did you do in Percé when you could not find anything there? Are you ready? We slept in the car. And if she travels with me again, try to do better, Louis. You had 40-some years to prepare to bring her. Could you not have prepared the journey a little bit better? Well, the days after that, we did travel less. The rest of the Gaspé Peninsula, across the top of New Brunswick, down to St. John, across to Prince Edward Island, and slept at Emmanuel Bible Camp on Friday night. What a wonderful thing it was to have a bed to sleep in. That was wonderful. And so glad that after all of that, I will let you know later by letter if she will travel with me one more time. You notice that I'm not looking in her direction at the moment. and be kind. Don't ask her afterwards. Don't just be kind and tell her we are not surprised. But seriously, thank you for your welcome this evening, the privilege of once again sharing the Word of God. And I would ask you to turn to Psalm 71, please. Psalm 71. Reading the first seven verses, it would be my delight if I were to be asked back to exegete the rest of Psalm 71, but tonight we shall do the first seven verses. Louis, is that the way you get invited back? You don't finish the text. Well, it says there's 24 verses. And if I had taken 4 minutes for every verse, do you understand? It's best for you to call me back the next time. Psalm 71, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou has given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels, my praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the joy of being here in the Maritimes and with my beloved Laura. Thank you for those in these provinces that have remembered to pray for her so faithfully and for our children. And I thank you, Father, for their undergirding before the throne of grace. And it is our joy to be here to express in the name of your Son how much we appreciate them all and appreciate their encouragement in the service of our Lord Jesus. Bless them, bless thy word this evening, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. No truer saying are the words of Job chapter 14 and verse 1, which say, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. So too is that statement also in Job in the 5th chapter and the 7th verse. Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Some may assume that old age, especially in retirement years, is an easier chapter in life than the ones preceding. After all, the stresses of the workplace are now a thing of the past. Financial needs like mortgages have been met. Children have been raised and are on their own. The enjoyment of grandchildren is for many a most pleasant occupation, as it is for us. True enough, but the testimony of many in my generation. Now, as we are in our 70s, and some a little more aged in their 80s, is more so in this vein. It's not easy getting old, though. Even as a Christian, with the assurance of sins forgiven, even with knowing that we have a sure hope, eternal life spent with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, even with all of those promises, it's not easy getting old, though. The challenges in old age, even for believers, make for a very long list. The care of aged parents, their declining health, and then to be bereaved of the both of them, leaving you, as it were, even when you're in your middle ages, feeling as an orphan when you lose both of your parents. The loss of cognitive ability in oneself or in one spouse. The onset of medical problems requiring the attention of doctors and endless appointments. The bereavement of one spouse and the solitude that ensues. I meet now not just widows, but widowers. And I find often that widowers need great encouragement. Remember them. Widows seem, with the Lord's help, true, to be able to cope with widowhood. Widowers, not, it is more difficult. Pray for them. They are in their house, and everything in that house reminds them of their beloved. A lack of mobility, many of them have, due to aged joints, sometimes spine issues, but most of all, the greatest concern of all, of people who get older in the Lord Jesus Christ, is their concern, their burden for the souls of their adult children and grandchildren. I trust not to scare those in our audience tonight that are younger about the trials that they too will encounter in old age, Lord willing, and if our Lord be not come. That is not my desire at all. My goal is more so to encourage you in your youth to wholly fix your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ so as to have a fruitful old age for the glory of God later on in your life if our Lord be not come. simply put, prepare now. Prepare now for this most challenging chapter that is to come in the will of the Lord, that you might prevail on the battlefield of old age by learning even now how to win the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare now so that your old age will not be simply a recitation of problems. Prepare now so that in old age you will know the most fruitful years for in your service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 71 is often referred as to the prayer of the aged believer. The 71st Psalm, though not stated in the title line, is believed to be David's. And perhaps it was penned by him in the days following the rebellion of his son Absalom. If David is indeed the author of this psalm, it was not the Spirit's intention to refer primarily to David's circumstances at the time, but more so to encourage older believers of God in eras to come, even down to our day. For this psalm, above any other in the Psalter, is fitted for the encouragement of older disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wish tonight, I would ask you just to follow in your text, to have your Bible opened as we take it, as it were, verse by verse. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. That has to be the first line. How can you have a fruitful life in youth, even unto old age, if first and foremost you have not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior? This is written by a writer that had put his trust in the living God. It is one who has a lifetime of experience, who can declare that even the best of men is but an arm of flesh that is found wanting and cannot be leaned upon. And certainly it was so for David. In regard to his counselor, named Ahithophel, of whom David said in Psalm 41 verse 9, he said, "Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his soul against me." There is hardly a pain like that of betrayal by a friend in whom you have trusted. Here, as it were, the pain in David's words in the 142nd Psalm when he wrote, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, I looked on my right hand, but there was no man that was concerned for me. Refuge in any person failed me. No one cared for my soul." But he could say, "In thee do I put my trust." David could say, "But thou, O God, you knew my path. No one knows what I am going through, even in old age. All the struggles that I have in my body. But thou, O God, you know my path. When my persecutors were too strong for me, and when I cried unto thee to bring my soul out of prison, you answered me. O learn, thou who are young in the audience tonight, what David testifies in Psalm 146, verse 5, when he said, happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. This is the starting point for the aged believer in Psalm 71. He has learned this through life's experiences. This was the foundation of his soul throughout. It had been tested. It had been proved in his youth. And it continued to be. It continued to be his undergirding in old age. Let his words be a motto of your life in youth and in onward. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Have you? Have you trusted in him to wash away your sins? Have you trusted in him to be the Savior of your soul? It's the first line. Nothing else makes sense from here onwards unless that has been settled. And then, going on, this aged believer says, let me never be put to confusion. As our God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as written in 1 Corinthians 14:33, we can be certain that confusion will not be allowed to trouble us. But in April, during a visit in Winnipeg, an older brother in Christ, as I sat with him and two other brothers in the Savior, he said, as we were sharing a meal together, he said, fellas, I feel as though I am drowning in confusion these days. I have felt, I have met some in their elderly years, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, faithful to our Lord, continuing to be so at times, dealing with confusion in their minds. How grateful we were that evening for the help of the Holy Spirit to encourage this dear saint of God by impressing upon him this, oh, dear friend, you're not confused, are you? You're not confused about the fact that your sins have been washed away by the blood of his cross. You're not confused about that, are you, my friend? No, he said. Dear friend, you're not confused, are you, about your soul being safe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for you? You're not confused about that, are you? No, I'm not. And certainly, dear friend, you know that you are God's child now and forevermore, and assured you are also of the Lord's return for you and eternity spent with him in heaven's glory. You know that for sure, don't you? I do. You're not confused about that, are you? No. Dear friend, yea, perhaps there are things that confuse you, but you're not confused of that which matters. You're not confused about that which is the one thing needful. You're not confused about your soul being safe in the Lord Jesus Christ now and forevermore. So let not your heart be troubled, therefore. And so the psalmist says, let me never be put to confusion about that which is needful, my trust in you. Now in your youth, when your mind is clearer, when your mind can grasp things more easily, know why you believe what you believe. That in the years coming, when the foe, the enemy of our souls, would sow confusion in your mind, you will know then with surety, on what foundation your faith stands. Do that in your youth. Prepare for a fruitful old age. Prepare for the most fruitful period of your life, then. The second meaning of that word, let me never be put to confusion, is let me not be ashamed. That's another rendering of that little phrase. We read in Psalm 31, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I've called upon thee. The aged man of Psalm 71 might be hobbled by old age. And he might not have the vigor that he had in his youth. But he knows the way to the throne of grace and prayer. And he knows how to prevail there. That is not something you turn on at the end of your life. It is something that you know in your youth. And you experience it in your youth. You will need then to know when troubles come, when aches and pains come, when mind is more afflicted, you will need then to know the way to the throne of grace and prayer. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord. Put not my prayers to the blush. O my God, may not the profane laugh at me because I have placed my confidence and my trust in you in vain. I know my hope in thy mercy will never be disappointed. Let me not be ashamed. O God, let me not be ashamed by bringing shame to your name in that last chapter of life. Let me finish the race well. I'm an old fella now. I know 4 generations now. Those of my generation, the 70s and the 80s, and they call me Louis. I've seen their children grow up. They're now in their 40s and 50s. And they call me Mr. Voyer. And those in their 40s and 50s have also had children. And what do they call you, Louis? They don't know what to call me. When I see them, they'll say, my grandparents, my parents, talked to me often about you. I don't know that generation very well at all. But they've heard of me. Then there's the 4th generation, their children. And they're 6, 7, 8 years old. And they look at my BlackBerry phone. And they can't figure out why I still have a phone like that in the 21st century. They have no idea how old I am. And regardless if you're in my shoes and have traveled as much as I have, it doesn't really matter. If you are in your 70s and 80s, there are 4 generations. And they're looking at you. You've talked to them about the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, let me finish the race well. Amen? None of you got that. You got to run the race now. If you're going to finish well. This is a man that is running a race. Are you? Are you preparing, even now in your youth, to finish that race well? Verse 2, Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. The initial thought we have, you know, when reading the second verse is the following. This aged believer, though weaker in physical strength, is still fighting the good fight as a warrior on the front lines. Deliver me from whom? He's still fighting. This is not a man who is sitting on the spiritual laurels of battles that were once fought. No, this is a man that is at war still. An older believer. Before he gets out of bed in the morning, knowing full well that even with his aching bones, he is entering into a battlefield. And figuratively, before his feet hit the bed or hit the floor, he puts on what is he doing? Figuratively, he puts on the helmet of salvation and he puts on the breastplate of righteousness. And he girds his loins with truth, and he prepares his feet to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He picks up the sword and the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. And as he does so, he reminds himself that he's entering, even in old age, the battlefield. Learn to do that in your youth so that you never see spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, as something that is only theoretical. For him, he practiced that in his youth, that he would be reminded every day that he needed the Lord's strength as he fought the good fight of faith till the very end. See this man here? He's engaged in a conflict. He needs the help of God to escape, to be saved from his enemies round about. There was a day when David grew faint, and even his men came to him, and they said to him, "You can no longer lead us into battle, but you need not worry. Your example to us in fighting the good fight will now lead us into victory." As aged believers, sometimes we might think that we are now far from the battlefield, as we once were in our younger days. But David here is but one example, had as many enemies at the beginning of his reign than he did at the end. So too, for many Christians in old age, the fights are different, but it is a battle, and they need God's help. Family problems do not go away in old age, do they? A divorce of adult children, the drug addiction of a cherished grandchild, the sudden onset of debilitating disease, and there are now new enemies against which the aged believer never had to fight before, like depression, for instance. On account of not feeling as useful as they once did in Christian service. If the Lord should tarry, I think that I will soon be facing that battle. I've traveled for 43 years now. I'm 73 and my lovely is 72. Sorry, Laura, I mentioned your age. But even now, there will be a battle to be fought. It may not be the same battle, but oh God, deliver me. Help me to win the victory still in the last chapter of life, lest I bring shame unto thy name. But the author of Psalm 71 knows the key of prevailing in the fight. Listen to him. Deliver me. Cause me. Incline your ear unto me. Save me. These mercies are asked for on a basis of faith. He has tested these in the past. They will not be denied him now that he has grown old and needs their comfort as never before. In younger days, you cried out to God and you found him faithful. Now in old age, even fighting on a new battlefield, even like depression. Deliver me in thy righteousness. God is righteous to deliver, not for our sake, but for his name's sake. Deliver me for your name's sake, for the glory of your name. This sad tendency we all have to be so very subjective and to think that it's all about us. That temptation does not cease in old age. Self-preoccupation can be a plight in older years as much as it is in our youth. And we still have to fight on that battlefield. Deliver me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. And cause me to escape. Incline your ear unto me, O Lord, and save me in those last battles fought, that I might bring forth fruit in mine old age for the glory of thy name. Verse 3a, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Be thou my strong habitation. Allow me to enter into thee as I would into a strong tower, O my God. Though I am weak now, let your strength overcome my personal feebleness. With my life hidden in thee as in a strong habitation, I can withstand all the vicissitudes of old age and its challenges. My friends, when I would visit railway yards across Canada and the United States, I would look for the tower. In the middle of the railroad yard. And I knew that I needed to find someone in charge in that tower. To give me permission to share the gospel with railroad employees in that railway facility. But here it's not know not where a tower is to be found. Here it is, no rather, that God himself is your tower. God himself is your strong habitation. And whereunto I may continually resort, he says. His God was not only a strong habitation, it was always an accessible refuge. Know that in your youth. Know that you have a tower where you can continually resort. There's never an hour when the doors of mercy are not open to our prayers, no matter how weak we may feel, even in our older years. Continually, he says, whereunto I may continually resort, continually, as often as you like, and any time, from any place. Oh, young person, you must know the way into that strong habitation of God in your youth, that you may resort to it continually later on in old age. Thou hast given commandment, he says at the end of verse 3, to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Thou hast given commandment, or the commandment to save me. Oh, what power attends that command. Only give the word, O God, that I be saved from my enemies, and in a moment it shall be done. For no power on earth and none in hell can resist your command that I be saved. For thou art my rock and my fortress.
And happy is he that can use the pronoun why, my. Can you? My habitation. My rock. My fortress. My God, in verse 4. My hope, in verse 5. My trust, in verse 5. My praise, in verse 6. Verse 4. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Those that are wicked towards God will most assuredly be wicked and cruel towards the righteous, taking no pity on them even when they are aged. It is a fierce fight. There is no letting up on the part of the enemy, but God's power to deliver is not lessened. Our strength may be lessened, but God's power to deliver is not lessened. Amen? Are you still with me? I lost you a long while ago, didn't I? We may be weary in a fight with foes round about, but God knows how to deliver the righteous. Verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. This is not an old man being nostalgic, as the elderly are sometimes wont to do in recalling the former golden days. No, one recalls an aged saint of old, when about to be burned at the stake, was asked by a Roman leader to deny his Savior and to swear by the Emperor of Rome, to which the warrior of the cross replied, I have served Christ. He said, these 86 years, and he hath not once injured me, and shall I now deny him? Oh, my aged brethren and the Savior, surely you can join your voice to the Jewish patriarchs of old, when they would say, God has led me all my life until this day. He hath been kind to me all the days, all my days, and I trust he will look after me even unto the end. Whither could I find a more gracious master? O Lord, to whom would I go? Younger brother, younger sister in the Lord, the vigor of young age will not carry you through. But the God of your youth will. Is anybody listening? I don't see any young people writing any of this down. The vigor of young age will not carry you through. But the God of your youth will. Verse 6a, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. A valid statement is this, as in the womb I lived upon thee, so from the womb I live upon you still. The psalmist, he reasoned, since God has given me life, since God has given me my being, therefore I have reason to hope that the one who has hitherto held me up from the womb will also sustain me through my older years, even when my strength is failing. Verse 6b, my praise shall be continually of thee. I would have you note that the word continually appears continually in this psalm. Verses 3, 6, 14, but you cannot continue in something unless it's an ongoing habit in your life. And what happened was that for the writer of Psalm 71, verse 3, continually finding refuge in God. Verse 6, continually praising God. Verse 14, continually hoping in God. Start that habit in your youth. Do it continually as the years go by. And it will not fail you in old age. It seems a bit like an anomaly that in the days of youth we're too busy to find time sometimes to continually to praise God. And then in old age when we have all the time to praise God for his goodness to us throughout our life, that sometimes we are too busy feeling sorry for ourselves in our infirmities and for our trials. Continue. Start that habit. You can't continue to do something unless you have started in the first place. So start it in youth and then continue throughout your old age so that they will be the most fruitful years of your life. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. Do you know that the palm tree produces its best fruit in old age? You should be producing your best fruit in old age. Can I ask you something? You who have been Christians now for many years, you who are learning to prevail over illness and many other troubles, are you teaching someone in this assembly? Are you taking someone under your wing? Are you mentoring someone? An older brother, a younger brother? And you, in your youth, can I ask you, is there someone mentoring you? If there isn't, ask someone. Tell them, would you give me 6 months of your life? In my latter times now, I have one goal. No. To encourage a few Timothys, to invest in them, what the Lord has been pleased to teach me in 51 years of Christian life. Young people, the older saints in this meeting are a resource of faith that you ought to be learning from. Last verse, and you all look so happy. Verse 7, I am as a wonder to many, but thou art my strong refuge. And this can be seen in two ways. Negatively, first of all, the ungodly looks at this aged believer in Psalm 71. And this ungodly says to him in a sarcastic vein, oh, what a wonder you are. Here you are. You're following God's ways. You love Him. You serve Him. You speak often of His grace, but look at yourself with your myriad trials and your failing strength. Look at me in comparison. I have not a thought of God. I have not a thought of the cross of His Son that you always talk about. And see for yourself, I am not stricken like you are. I have nary a care in the world. I have not been in hospital for surgery ever. I travel south to Florida. Well, I should not put this on. I play golf all year round. It's in my notes. I'll have to apologize to Jacques Boisvert afterwards. Seems to me, the person would say, I don't need the God that you got. You're a wonder to me that your God would treat you so. And with those stinging words in his ears, the man of God counters not the God, ungodly accuser, but refers it all to God, who is really the one that's being slandered. And he says to this one, true. But God is my strong refuge. It can also be meant positively. An ungodly looks at the tried and aged believer in Psalm 71 and admires him for the peace and the joy in the middle of his circumstances and admits, oh, what a wonder you are. And again, the man of God takes no credit but prays that the ungodly will see that it is all of God, that his prevailing is all of God, that the victory is his God, who is a strong refuge. Conclusion. Not only did the aged believer in Psalm 71 look to the past to remember God's goodness and God's faithfulness to him over the many long years of his life, but he also looked ahead to the future in terms of the work which remained for him to be accomplished for the Lord. He knew that if God had left him in life for a few more years and had not taken him home yet, it was for him to testify to generations to come. He says in verse 18, "Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." Are you leaving a testimony? Of God's strength unto this generation. Even when you're old and gray-headed, and even with the difficulties of life, of old age, testify of God's strength unto this generation. Testify of God's power, the power of God that has saved you, the power of God that is changing you in the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Testify of that power to every other generation that is to come. What will people remember? And of me and of you. If I recall, I'm the 12th generation of ancestors that came from France to New France. My relatives on both sides of my family arrived in what was then New France in the 1630s and the 1640s. My children would be the 13th generation, and my grandchildren the 14th generation. I cannot entirely recall or have researched why they came. It would appear that perhaps, and I stress perhaps, that they escaped religious persecution. And is it possible that when they arrived in a new continent, that they prayed that God would bless their testimony unto generations after generations and after generations? And is it possible that in February 1974 in Hamilton, Ontario, when I was doing my master's degree, that God answered the prayer of one of those in the 1630s and the 1640s? What are you leaving behind? Even in your old age, testify to this generation. And you that are young, listen to what they're testifying about. Learn from them. And it would encourage them. It will encourage them greatly to know that they are still useful for the kingdom. Many years ago, in closing, I was asked to to share at a Bible study at Transworld Airlines. In their overhaul hangar in Kansas City, Missouri. And when I went into the hangar there and I asked a man where the fellows met to study the Bible, he pointed to a stairwell and he said, "They meet in there." And I discovered later on that they had been meeting in that stairwell for 25 years. And that stairwell, it was dirty and filthy and stuffy. But I don't think I've ever spoken in a more memorable place in all my years of Christian service. There are people's lives that were changed in that stairwell. I asked the men, "Who started the Bible studies here?" He said, "Well, it was a man who came from the Santa Fe Railroad. He was a middle manager. He was in middle management. His name was Gene Hayes. And he started to meet in the stairwell with one other brother in Christ. And he felt that if they continued to meet, that the men would know that they could come there whenever they had prayer requests, that they would know that there would be somebody who would be praying for them." I shared in that stairwell, and I was told, "Speak up!" I did that to wake some of you up. Why? Well, the ones that were sitting this way, I could see, but the ones who were sitting that way, I couldn't see, and the ones that were sitting that up there, I couldn't see. Speak up! And when I left that place, a man who was not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to me and he asked me this question. "Do you believe?" he said. Sorry, there's always somebody appointed to have their phone go off. "Can I ask you a question? Do you believe in the same God Gene Hayes believed in?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "That's good," and he walked away. You say, that wasn't long a conversation, but it was a memorable question, you know. He didn't say, "Did you know Gene Hayes?" No. "Did you know what Gene Hayes did for TWA? No. "Do you know where Gene Hayes lived and what his house was like? No. "Do you know what Gene Hayes drove as a car? No. "Do you believe in the same God Gene Hayes believed in?" What he remembered of Gene Hayes was Gene Hayes' God. Oh, they remember of you. Generations after, for you see, Gene Hayes, yea, had started that Bible study group. But when that man asked me that question, Gene Hayes had been with the Lord for 15 years. 15 years after the Lord had called him home, that man still remembers the God of Gene Hayes. That man had left the testimony of God's strength and God's power, not only to his generation, but to the others that were to come. Let us pray. Father, thank you in my weariness this night, in my tiredness this night. I pray, O God, that your word will have fallen in fertile soil, will not have been listened only with someone's ears. Oh, it would be an encouragement, not simply to me, but to the glory of God, that if and when I am allowed to return, that I would find the older saints in this meeting with a younger one sitting beside them, spending time, giving them 6 months of their life, and that the young people will go to someone who is ailing, not only to encourage them, but to say to that suffering one, tell me, which verses in the Bible are sustaining you, are encouraging you in this chapter of your life, that I might learn them now, so that I too, as you, can have a fruitful old age for the glory of God. If that was so, then glory be to God. It's up to you. You who are young, approach someone. Have them one-on-one invest their knowledge of the Savior in you. Father, I pray that you will encourage thy people here. They have been such an encouragement to me and to my Laura. Thank you for their fellowship in the gospel these many years. I pray that you will continue to encourage them all, young and old, to be steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of our Lord, knowing that their labor in him is not in vain. In Jesus' name, amen.